Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Caller number 10 is promised at 800-636-1067. Congrats, you're winning a four-pack of tickets to Old Glory Rugby DC, Saturday, May 4th. They're taking on Miami. For tickets and the complete Old Glory schedule, please visit thefandc.com/events. We're getting to our Beltway Blitz in just a moment on Grant and Danny. We'll be covering the Commanders, among other teams. They're trying to draft a generational QB, and we want to remind you, you need to be thinking about your next generation. As the exclusive sponsor for our show, the law firm of Condori and Murat, they'll guide you and your family in the right direction. They'll help you draft your will, set up a trust, create a healthcare power of attorney, schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys at kmlawyers.com. Be sure to tell them Grant and Danny sent you. Score yourself a discount. That's kmlawyers.com. Let's kick off our Beltway Blitz on the diamond. And to discuss the Nationals, Kevin Franzen will join us in a moment. Right now, you and me doing the heavy lifting, Danny. Here's why. We got news, and Franny's probably in the press conference right now. Just coming out within the last few minutes, Davey Martinez talking over at Nats Park. Josiah Gray update, playing catch up to 75 feet. Martinez said they have not yet mapped out his full timing yet, but they would have to treat Gray with a little bit of caution as they bring him back. And then K-Bert Ruiz, he's been sick. He hasn't played in a few weeks.
Yeah, goodness.
Like the longest illness in the history of the world. He's going to have a rehab assignment in AA Harrisburg. Sounds like he's probably going to be there a couple days and then activated later in the week, according to Mark Zuckerman of Masson Sports. Speaking of Masson, you watch Kevin Franzen on the telecast with Bob Carpenter every single night. Franny, you just heard some of those updates on Gray and Ruiz. What do you think?
Sure. Yeah.
Was I supposed to hear it?
I assumed you'd heard him. Gray, coming back, he's throwing from 75 feet, and K-Bert Ruiz, rehab assignment starting in AA tonight from his illness.
I mean, it's great stuff, right? I mean, just sort of the fact that what is this last couple of weeks provided? We've seen a lot of quality depth come up from the minor leagues or guys that are on the roster that have stepped up in the situations, right? Like Riley Adams has done just a tremendous job. You know, but now that Caber's been down, he's been getting that full run. But, I mean, defensively, he's been just fantastic. You know, Mitchell Parker coming in and doing the things that he's done for Josiah. So it's like, take your time, make sure you guys are right before you guys are here. And I think, you know, rather than Davey have that luxury right now because of how well those guys have performed in those spots.
Franny, get into Mitchell Parker, what you've seen from him. He's been electric, absolutely outstanding. Strikeout per inning, only let up two runs here over his 12 innings pitched during these two starts. He's been outstanding.
He has huge stones, sorry to say it, but he does. I mean, just for the fact that, like, the first three hitters in the Dodgers lineup, Hall of Famers, right? That's no doubt. You could make an argument for probably two of the three, one, two, threes in the Houston lineup. are Hall of Famers, or will be, you know, when you think about Altuve, Yordan. But you combine those guys, and it's like 7,500 hits, 1,200 homers, 3,000 walks, and he didn't walk one of them. What does that tell you? Like, it tells me that the kid was all in, and I'm not, you know, he's not scared of the situation. Now, maybe had he made mistakes and got hit hard, maybe he's different, but he didn't, you know. And watching a guy gain that confidence within those two starts was just tremendous. And they have, like, two different types of starts, right? Where in L.A., for your debut, couldn't find the feel for that split, and that's a big pitch for him. And he was able just to go through with a four-seamer and curveball. That almost tells me more, right, than what we saw the other day. Because the other day, it was special stuff, right? The split that he had thrown against the Astros, it just – you don't see it out of left-handers too often, right? And for him to actually have it, be able to have three pitches, like a little easier for a guy than having just two pitches against that lineup that he had against L.A. There's a little moxie there, right, being able to do that. I just – Man, wasn't that the coolest thing?
Yeah,
seriously, was
sub 75 like, pitches, I mean, seven scoreless.
I don't get it.
Yeah, Nats pitchers never done that.
That wasn't fluky.
How about speaking of not fluky, Jake Irvin's throwing the ball really, really well right now. Consecutive six inning starts, five hits and a one run earned for him with 11 Ks. Last couple trips to the rotation. You know, the stuff's really good. His fastball at times has touched 98 this season. He's made a leap, it seems like. What are you seeing from him?
Another one of those things where the confidence on every experience, like, helps, right? Like, just being able to get through some things. The start against the A's was fantastic, but it was a start against a lesser offense. And for him to repeat it against a great offense in the Dodgers, that was awesome. Because, like, look, we saw it against the A's where he was like 93, 94, and he was fantastic because he kept it all the way through. And it worries you a little bit when he's like 95, 96, 97 early because the second inning, third inning is giving him trouble this year. And so against the Dodgers, being able to go 95, 96 in the first, 95, 96 in the second, and then the sixth inning, 95, 96, I was like, whoa, right? Because we haven't seen that, him be able to sustain it like that. So that was awesome. Again, you know, are they going to have their rough outings? Absolutely. Most pitchers would say that they will. But the fact that he got through the Dodgers the way he did, I think adds another piece of that confidence. And it's one of those where you're just excited to see him the next time because do you take it for granted what you did? Or do you just say, I'm going to build off that? And those are the things that we continue to ask because, again, I've told you, I'm more realistic than I'm going to be, like, just fanboy on everything. Like, I hope they continue to do it, but I understand if they don't, you know, consistently. Because it's, like, every experience time through, you know, the league is going to be different for them until they get in that, you know, that comfortable place, which I hope Jake's getting into that comfortable place. You know, I enjoy it. I enjoy the moments that they're out there. Let's just say that.
Brandy, always great to have you on, buddy. Appreciate the time, dude. Be well.
You guys are awesome.
Oh, you're sweet.
You're a good guy.
You're so nice, Franny.
Good guy. Good guy. Great guy. That was short.
That's the blitz. That's the blitz, bro. You're on, you're off in like 5 minutes. This is not a leisurely stroll. This is the blitz.
This is like the fast-paced thing.
You pack a punch, man.
Dude, that's why I love you guys even more.
Let me ask you this. Do you get more steamed up for like a 4 or 5 minute blitz hit? Or do you want like a 20-minute
let,
like,
it breathe, let your hair down. Wax poetic?
Well, just to be honest with you boys, like you and I, it's like us drinking beers. So, I mean, I'm good with a 20-minute if you want. If an hour, if we're good, you know, 5 minutes, that might not get everything out.
All right. That's good to know.
That's noted.
What's noted. Maybe you could come by on your way over to the ballpark and we could do it in person, too.
You just tell me when. Tell me when.
We got you.
I'm all about me. You know me.
Brandy, thank you.
That Bobby.
See you, brother. Look good, play good. Watch him tonight, Bob Carpenter. And if you want to listen to the Nats, you could also listen to the Nationals. This evening, they are on 99.1 because we got Caps playoff hockey. Let's get after it.
Hit it. Our guy Ben Ramey, Caps Radio Network. Ben, what's got to be different here in game two?
The need to generate more offensively. Stop me if you've heard that one before, but that would be among the priorities for the Capitals, a power play unit that went 0 for 4 Sunday afternoon in game one, and it wasn't only that they went 0 for 4 in 8 full minutes and didn't score. They didn't generate very much as far as momentum off those opportunities. So for one, you're looking to generate more offensively, looking to clean up the power play. And then I think the other thing worth noting is the other night kind of unraveled pretty quickly, right? The Rangers scored 3 times in a span of just over 2 minutes. I think there's a thought collectively on this Capitals bunch for a lot of these guys, first time experiencing this stage, the Stanley Cup playoffs. Yeah, they have the veterans. They have a whole lot of newbies as well. Just don't let it unravel too much, kind of. You know, the momentum swings are pretty big in playoff hockey. And the other day, the other night, bang, 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 it got away from them pretty quickly. You got to make sure if you do fall behind one, maybe two, you know, you nip that in the bud and you don't let it unravel as it did on Sunday afternoon.
Ben, how did they keep Ovi from a shot on net?
Yeah, he had his attempts. I mean, 5 of them were blocked. You know, they defended him very well. I will say what the Capitals did have an issue with the other day, that line in particular, Ovechkin's line, was an interesting matchup Peter Laviolette went with on the Rangers' side. He matched up almost strength for strength. He put one of their top lines, Artemi Panarin, Vincent Trocheck, Alexei Lafreniere. That's a scoring line for the New York Rangers. The idea behind that was to spend much of their shift in the Capitals zone. In other words, make Ovechkin and the Caps top line defend. And I think you give the edge to the Rangers in that matchup the other day. Again, the Rangers, the home team, they have the advantage of the last change. That was part of it. They put their scores against the Capitals headliners, and much of that was spent in the Capitals zone. And then when Ovechkin did have the opportunity in the offensive zone, the time and space was taken away very quickly. Again, I think he had 7 attempts, 5 of which were blocked by the Rangers.
So it's easy to say get more offense, but, you know, I would have prescribed that in the offseason this past, you know, before the season started, man, or any kind of point during the year. This is sort of who they are, even as they were, you know, fighting to get into the postseason. It was as if they were ringing the bell or lighting the lamp a million times over. To me, it's got to be a little grimier and lower scoring in that way. How can they muck this game up? I mean, you don't want 6 penalties called in the first, like it was in the first period the other night. But that, to me, is the path, is to not try to outshoot the Rangers, to try to make the Rangers miserable. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, you want to slow it down. You want to clog it up as much as possible. And to that point, you know, it's almost cliche to say you got to score first. It's easier to play with the lead. But this Capitals team especially, we have seen this season that when they fall behind a goal or multiple goals and they're forced to play catch up and they're forced to open things up, you know, it usually leads to bad things at the other end of the ice, hence a lot of those blowout defeats we saw late in the season. Conversely, you get a lead, it allows the Capitals in turn to play more of their slow it down brand that they would rather play, engage physically, you know, tighten things up and play a little bit more of a conservative, you know, sometimes boring brand of hockey, but that's what it took for the Capitals to get to the postseason. It's likely what it will take for them to make it, a competitive series as well. And real quick, worth noting as well, no Sandin, no Jensen still on the back end. They're both going to be out still tonight. And when you think of Jensen and Sandin, they're not necessarily goal scorers themselves, but they are two guys who are able to scoot. They can move the play up ice. They can move the puck up ice. And that leads to offense at the other end of the ice. And I think those two, the absences of Sandin and Jensen, again, not necessarily headliners for the casual fan, but you can't underestimate or downplay what those losses mean for the team, particularly as they look to transition and move the puck up ice.
Yeah, along those lines, what's your anticipation on the blue line? Now, it looked like they were basically going to let Iorio play very little. He had a couple shifts before he got thrown out there in the second period. Same kind of deal for Lucas Johansson this evening. How do you envision his role?
Yeah, also limited. Not unlike Vinny Iorio the other day. You're right. He was injured early in the second period. It was only at that point his third shift of the night. His ice time was very limited. I'd anticipate more of the same tonight from Johansson. And, to that point, you're going to lean again on Carlson, on Farivari, on Trevor Van Riemsdyk. You know, even Alexeyev to an extent. And then you've got Dylan McIlrath, again, not a household name, in the lineup the other night. Only 3 games in the NHL this season, a fixture with Hershey. That said, McIlrath is a big boy, and he held his own the other day. It was limited minutes, but I thought he showed himself well. And, you know, a big boy that could potentially contend if needed with Matt Rempe, who on the Rangers side was a handful in limited minutes on Sunday afternoon as well.
Hard to predict here, Ben, but would you anticipate this game gets officiated differently? Especially because of the chippiness that ended up towards the end. I mean, they couldn't wait to call 1,000 penalties in the first period. Yeah. Then a lot of stuff got let go, and then everyone's mad at each other. How do you think this is going to go in that way?
Yeah, I just think it might be officiated differently and that more will, you know, more will go uncalled, you could say, early on. I think that was a head-scratcher, and that affects all parties. That affects both teams, a lot of players up and down both depth charts. It's just, you know, players acknowledged it. It was surprising. We were surprised the other day. It didn't. I'll be honest, fellas, the other day didn't feel like a playoff game. The atmosphere at Madison Square Garden was terrific. That felt like a playoff vibe. That felt like a playoff game. But the game itself, what we watched, it didn't necessarily have that immediate physicality, the tone setting you come to expect in the Stanley Cup playoffs, the animosity, the message sending being, you know, built in early on, the first 10, 15 minutes of a first period of a game one. We didn't see that. It was very tightly called. There were very tight calls, again, against both teams in that first period. I'd anticipate tonight just to revert to the norm a little bit, you know, what we've seen in other series around the league over the past few days. I would anticipate, you know, fewer ticky-tack calls, if you will, and as a result, that could lead to, you know, more of the playoff brand of hockey we're used to seeing.
Two things. One, no Rempe goals tonight. Two, I heard Freda Felcher is going to be at Madison Square Garden.
I remember you talking about her.
Freda from Scranton.
That's her.
There it is.
Ben, thank you, buddy.
Felcher, yeah. Appreciate it, fellas.
See you. Anytime I can get a Freda Felcher in reference. Right in there when Ben Raby is like elbow deep.
He's trying to sign off. He's like, he's doing all the different pregame stats and things. And he's like, Freda Felcher from Cranston?
Caps playoff coverage sponsored by our friends at PVI Office Furniture. Get to their showroom in Frederick, Maryland today. Score big with their Power Play playoff special. 20% off your new office chair. Fast, excellent, affordable. Business grows with PVI. The Blitz grows with Michael Phillips. Odyssey Sports Richmond. Our pal, Miguel Philippe, are you buying what seems to be selling right now? Jaden Daniels, number two to Washington.
Wait, we've heard it from everybody except the team, right? So, you know, it's got, you know, the Ben Johnson vibes. I certainly understand why people would be wary of that. So I understand why people aren't rushing into the bank. I also think this has been the logical end from the very beginning. So I definitely nod along when I hear it. I think, yeah, it makes sense to take Jaden Daniels. He's the most dynamic, best playmaker on the board, and you pick at number two and you need a quarterback. So it makes it easier for me to nod my head. But you know what? I'm still going to wait and believe it when I see it.
Give me a percentage chance. We'll do a couple percentages here, Miguel. Percentage chance they trade back.
Man, I think the J.J. McCarthy buzz has really foiled that to a large degree, right? So we talk about trading back, Danny, and you know it's who you trade back with as much as what you get in return, right? If you trade to 11, so you're trading with the Vikings, you get first-round picks in the future. The Vikings are a well-coached team that's playing to win right now and I think can make the playoffs this year and in future years. So you know you may be picking late in the first round in those years. On the other hand, I love trading with the Raiders at 13. That's honestly my favorite outcome here. Get a couple of Raiders first rounders in the future. They're playing in a division with Patrick Mahomes. I think he'll probably be good next year. Harbaugh's in the division now. I think he'll win at the NFL level. And you got a desperate Sean Payton. Even if that team's not any good, I think they'll still string together some W's. That's a team that might be picking towards the top of the draft for the next couple of years, right? So that excites me, the possibility of getting to 13 where you can probably still get a really good offensive tackle or a J.J. McCarthy and then pick again in the future. But you know, what are you going to do about quarterback, right? If you can guarantee me McCarthy's on the board at 13, I will sign up for that right now. But you can't do that. You don't know he's going to be there. And so that's why I think there's a 98, 99% chance they turn in the card and they pick and they don't trade down because you have to leave this draft with a quarterback. It's not optional.
Percentage chance to end up with J.J. McCarthy.
You know, that's the one. I really do think it'll either be I'm giving Daniels 90% of the pie. I'm giving Jaden or JJ 9% and Drake May 1. I do think this is, you know, Adam Peters is not going to be afraid to go with his gut here. And if they really do love him that much, and they might, I think he's the surprise selection. I don't think he's coming, but that's the guy I've got my eye on for sure.
Phillips, did you know that Danny prefers filet to ribeye?
What's he doing? What are we doing here?
Just eating well. That's all. I'm not sitting there in a fight with my steak, cutting off gristle and having my jaw get sore from the cut of meat. That's all.
Ooh, it's smooth like butter and it has no flavor. Like I'm
sure
so glad we sat down at this nice steakhouse to have something that doesn't taste like anything. Why don't we put some more flavored butter on it so that I can maybe taste something?
Yeah,
with my
sorry
meal.
About that. The flavored butter, by the way, I'm sure it's the most expensive for no reason at all. But here's the thing for me though, Miguel, I am a fancy boy and I will fully admit that. I'll acknowledge it. I like to get a little surf and turf. I like it when they're both on my plate. If it's the ribeye, then that's what you're doing. Like that's the entire night, which is not bad. It's still very, very good. But to me, give me that filet because it lets everyone know that I'm fancy.
Man, I just want to make clear I'm 1,000% Team Grant here, and it's not close. But you draw attention to a very important issue roiling America right now, and I would endorse any candidate with a platform of making smaller ribeyes available because I am a steak guy, but I'm a sides guy too. And when you get the ribeye, it really cuts into your side time. And that's you can get a 6-ounce filet. Why can't you get a 6-ounce ribeye, America? Why can't we do it?
Hear this out, though, right? You get the ribeye, 14, 16 ounces. That's fine. You get your delicious sides. Maybe you want to go mashed potatoes. Maybe you want to go mac and cheese. Maybe you're going to do a little cream corn, Danny. I know
yeah,
you
there
love
you go.
That.
Thank you, Grant, for mentioning it. Right? Thank you. Yep.
And then you take some of that steak home when you can't finish it, Michael. Have you thought about that?
It's tough for me to take $30 a steak home. That's a tough pull for me. I'm nothing if not cheap at the end of the day. That's a tough pull for me to be sitting there that steak and say, why don't I eat it, you know, cold on my iceberg lettuce tomorrow at home? That's a tough pull for me.
Phillips, thank you. Much appreciated.
Always a good time.
Always good to have him on the Beltway Blitz. Why was Ryan dabbing throughout that segment? Somebody needs to tell me what the hell's going on here.
That was behind me. I didn't see it. What was happening?
Is it because we're on camera now? Like, twice Ryan just dabbed in the background. What were you doing?
So, okay, I sent this out in a massive group thread, and all my friends are watching on YouTube right now. So they're probably about half the viewers. They're commenting. They're going crazy. They're saying, hit the dab.
Okay.
So I hit a few dabs.
Multiple
Who's
times,
saying hit the dab?
I know, nobody in the chat, but on his group text.
Oh,
I
see.
Yeah.
But the first time he just dabbed and we made awkward eye contact and he was just kind of smirking. And
it
I'm
was
like,
tough.
All right, what's that about? And then right at the end of the interview there, he just dabs again like he's an 8-year-old.
real excited about,
at a baseball
about Michael Phillips' answer about steak.
What are you, in second grade? What are you doing with a dab? So someone wanted you to hit the dab.
Yeah, they wanted me to hit the dab. They got a little excited.
Why is that the verb, by the way? Like to me, I think dab is a verb. Like two dab, one dabs. I have dabbed, right? You can just dab. Why do you have to hit the dab? Turns into a noun.
Oh, that's a good question.
See what I'm saying?
I don't know. Who said that, me or him?
Well, I'm not criticizing anybody, but I didn't know we had to. Ryan said hit a lot there.
I just had to hit the dab.
So watch this. Dab.
I could dab.
So you did. That's the verb.
Here's
what
I like to say. Dabbing on these folks. I like to say.
That's what you say all
Ryan's
the time?
Ryan's out here dabbing on folks.
Is he?
I don't know.
That's what you say.
That's how I feel
you
about
say
it.
That.
That was your Beltway Blitz. Next on G&D, Jordan Reed, not the tight end. But the draft expert we had on the show
that is right, yes.
The other day, he actually, in his most recent mock that dropped yesterday, he dabbed on some folks with his mock draft.
He was dabbing on them.
He says Washington will take Jaden Daniels, which is fine. Everyone's saying that. His logic for why they're going to take Jaden Daniels, though, didn't really make a lot of sense. We'll explain next. Grant and Danny on the Fan.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
in a half hour, right at 5 o'clock. 10 draft questions in 10 days. The countdown is almost over. Just 2 days away from round one of the NFL draft. What are the Commanders going to do at number two? Everyone only wants to talk about quarterback, but they got business to tend to with eight other selections. So we'll get to our burning draft question of the day coming up at 5 o'clock. Danny, I know this is something, though, that drew your ire. You came in earlier today. We were talking about what we wanted to hit on this show today. And Jordan Reed of ESPN, a draft expert we both like a lot, who was on this show, said they're going to go Daniels over May. Now, he prefers May. He told us a couple days ago he's got May higher on his board. But at that time, he told us he thinks Washington's going to go with Jaden Daniels. It was his write-up in his mock draft today that frustrated you a little bit, because one of the reasons he thinks they're going to go Daniels just doesn't seem like something they should care that much about.
Indeed. And the of course, my computer went decided to take a rest here at the moment as I'm trying to read this. But the synopsis is, well, Corny, you guys grabbed this for me, by the way. The synopsis is basically, it gives them a chance to be good right away. They added a bunch of veterans this offseason to improve their talent level, which they did. But you and I both know this isn't a we're a player away type offseason. This is we're 50 players away, or give or take, right? Maybe not quite 50. We're 38 players away. We're not filling every hole right now. And his point was Jaden Daniels gave him the best chance to succeed in the short term.
So I pulled it up. Pick number two, Washington Daniels. Here's what he says. This pick will likely come down to Daniels and UNC's Drake May. Not newsy there. Considering the Commanders' veteran additions this offseason, they seem to believe they can win right now while still establishing a foundation for the future. Daniels is the guy who gives them the best chance for early success, showing excellent deep ball passing and rushing ability. He averaged 11.7 yards per pass attempt last season and threw 40 touchdowns. Translation, if they're in win now mode, Jaden Daniels should be the guy they take because he allows you to have more immediate success.
I found that really puzzling. Now, again, I'm a Jordan Reed fan. Both the tight end, frankly, and the draft analyst, I just don't see it that way at all. And my worry is that is how they see it, right? In other words, I don't think you have the offseason that you just had if you're Washington without acknowledging we are eons away. We are not a quick fix away. We're not one trade or one running back or one wide out or one tackle away from being the best team in this division. We got a long way to go. We kind of punched above our weight class even to win a few games the way that this team did last year. There needs to be a major talent induction, by the way. And they just don't have that at this point. There was no way to get it this one offseason. You could have spent every dollar and been a little bit better, but not good enough to be up there with Dallas and Philadelphia, presumably, and then San Francisco, and then some of the best teams in the AFC. The path really is about this quarterback being really good, and it would be encouraging and make you feel confident that he'll be good in the future. Years 2, 3, 4, and 5, maybe when you're really ready to make that push, as he's on his rookie deal, you could build a great roster. The guy that's going to be the best in a couple of years. Oftentimes, it looks like C.J. Stroud. Not many have, but where you're good right away, and then you get great, right? You could tell Joe Burrow rookie year was going to be pretty special. Justin Herbert rookie year was going to be pretty special. Mahomes, his first year he played. You go down the list, the guys that we now think of as part of the furniture at the top of this league at the quarterback spot. But you might be able to gimmick something up and win a bunch of games in year one and have a chance to compete. I'm going, no. I know a lot of fans, that's music to their ears. You tune in 17 times, you want them to win as many games as possible. That's not crazy. My point isn't to be just okay and take that first little apple in the orchard. Let's go get the best one. And that, to me, is a down-the-line thing, not a September 1st where we're going to be better marginally with this guy over another guy.
So I don't have a problem, first and foremost, with the assessment that Daniels is more ready than May. It seems like the prevailing wisdom.
That seems to be the consensus, right?
I think everybody seems to think that we have on the show. Maybe not everybody, but the vast majority of people seem to think Daniels is further along in his development. He misses fewer layups, kind of more consistent with his mechanics and accuracy and throwing the football. So I have no problem if that's a check mark in his column. In fact, it should be. More ready, you know.
Played more college football, developed a lot more, sure.
He's older, 5 years, a lot of games. Put that in his column as a win. That is, if we're doing the old like scale where you put a Skittle in each time, you give someone a victory, and then you see which side the scale tips to. That's a Jaden Daniels Skittle.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like what you're saying, I totally agree with, which is if this is a major determining factor, or really in any way, a huge consideration for them, that they're trying to win sooner than later, and so Daniels, who allows you to hit the ground sprinting, should be prioritized over May, who might be a higher ceiling guy ultimately, but right away doesn't give you the same opportunity to start out as a potential winning team in year one, you're thinking about this wrong.
Yeah, because right now you got a built-in potential 1,000-yard rusher at quarterback if you want it.
Yeah, the floor is higher because he's going to make plays no matter what with his legs.
Mm-hmm.
I guess for me, it's really simple. I don't care that much about this season from a wins and losses standpoint.
Same here.
I care about the development of the QB for sure. And if you think Jaden Daniels can be developed better because he's a better fit with Kingsbury, because he hit it off in meetings with Brian Johnson, because you want to have designed runs in the offense and he's going to be better at that than May, who I think is still going to be adequate in that regard, by the way. People are going to be surprised wherever he ends up, and especially if it's in New England, how often that Josh Allen, like, designed power offense is used with Drake May. But who cares about who's better in September, October, November this year? Forecast me out 5 years from now, who's the better quarterback? That's who you should be drafting. And I trust this front office, and particularly this GM, Adam Peters, enough to feel like that's the way they're going to go with this. They're not making a decision based on who is further along right now. That just might be what he wrote. I have a hard time believing that he thinks that's going to be a major determining factor. Fair?
That's my hope. Again, all we can do, because they haven't made a ton of comments on the record about exactly what the plan is and the like, and they're tight-lipped to their credit. They've had press conferences, though, and nowhere in there has their vision sort of been laid out, right? Remember when Ron Rivera, after a few years of roster building, whatever it was that he called it, wouldn't even commit to saying, hey, we should try to be a playoff team this year, et cetera. No one's going to hold this group's feet to the fire yet, and they shouldn't, by the way. You're digging out a giant ditch that the previous ownership and regime left you. Everybody's going to give you some time, and they should. Everyone should be very patient right now. I think most of the fan base is on that page. Their actions didn't look like a team to me that thought they were right there. You don't overhaul a third of the roster with 1 and 2 year deals for guys looking for a payday maybe elsewhere if you're a player away.
So that's the other thing, right? I would say. I think that there's a miscalculation on what their offseason meant here, right? This idea, they signed a bunch of veterans, they're trying to win right away. I disagree with that. They signed a bunch of veterans, the rest of that sentence should be, they're trying to establish a professional culture.
Mm-hmm.
They signed a bunch of veterans for 1 year, 2 years, to your point. They didn't sign these guys because they feel like they've got to win 8 or 9 games this year and 11 next year. They signed these guys because the team was devoid of talent, because they lacked depth at almost every single position, and because they looked at the roster and said, these guys aren't that good.
Yeah, this isn't like a Charles Haley mercenary situation going to a team that's got the best chance to win the Super Bowl. That's not what this offseason was.
I am going to name a player here. Will you hand me my bell over there, please?
Yeah, let me get you that bell.
My bell. We'll play a little bell game. You know,
I'm going to go around the bend here.
Thanks. Yeah. Give me that Albert.
Good shot by me.
It's Jay.
There's the
get
Derek.
Ready
yep.
to go. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Tatum. I found a Tatum.
Mike Shanahan running back? Well, Tatum Bell.
Yeah, hey, remember that guy?
Yep. You already said Jay Bell. Why do I remember running out of bells? Rajah Bell?
Josh Bell.
You're right back at me. You hit it back way too
Volley,
fast.
Yeah.
You've been thinking about it really hard. I'm out.
It was a good run while we
no,
had it.
I lost it. I lost right there.
I'm going to name a player. Tell me that you are confident that guy's going to be here in 3 years.
Go.
Michael Davis, the corner from the Chargers.
I'll stop you when I'm confident.
Jeremy Chinn, safety.
Panthers. I will let you know when I'm confident.
Noah Igbinoghene, DB from the Cowboys. Keandre Jones from San Francisco. Anthony Pittman, linebacker, Detroit. Michael Walker, linebacker
Pittsburgh.
From Pittsburgh. Bobby Wagner, linebacker, Seattle. Frankie Louvu, linebacker, Carolina.
That one, I would say, has a great shot.
I'll give you the bell on
Give me the bell there.
Dorrance Armstrong, edge from Dallas.
Give me the bell there.
Dante Fowler, edge from Dallas.
No
the
bell.
Cowboys, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Austin Eckler from the Chargers.
No bell.
Marcus Mariota, Philly.
No bell.
Zach Ertz, San Francisco.
That's a no bell.
Jeff Driscoll, backup quarterback, Cleveland.
That's a no bell.
I mean, these are, we just throw the number out. They signed 20-plus guys. These are the guys.
Yeah.
Jeremy Nichols, the running back from maybe the 49ers most recently. I wouldn't even know. Tyler Biadasz, the center from the Cowboys.
That one, I think.
Nick Allegretti from the Chiefs.
That one.
Alamide Zaccheaus, University of Virginia's own, from the Eagles.
Not as much that one.
Michael Dieter. I think that's a character that you do who's a German.
Yes, that's his Dieter. Yeah, that is, you know him. And him and Helmut and Lansky is the other guy.
There's four we're talking about here.
Yeah.
I think I hit four bells. They did not have this offseason to go win a Super Bowl right now. This is not about winning. They had an offseason because they didn't really have a choice. They inherited an egregiously bad roster, and they had one of two options. Be bad, draft a rookie quarterback at two, let everyone kill you for 3 years while that guy failed about what a bad job you did trying to indoctrinate them, or try to build a nest to bring the baby bird home.
Mm-hmm.
They built the nest up a little bit as best as they could on 1 and 2 year deals so that they could also have a successful first draft. First time Peters, first time Newmark are doing this. They didn't want to have to draft out of necessity for need. They wanted to get to draft based on how the board fell because I don't need a linebacker. I signed three of them. I don't need a defensive end. They're not particularly good, but I signed three of them. I don't need a safety. I brought in a couple.
You're not desperate anywhere except for two spots.
Right. But here's the question for you guys, MGM National Harbor Listener Lines, 800-636-1067 on Grant and Danny. Reed of ESPN says you got to go Daniels over May, or he's predicting, rather, that they go Daniels over May because he thinks Daniels better fits the timeline. Washington wants to win now. Is that a thing, and should it be a factor, if at all? We're Grant and Danny on the Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
I think they're going to take Jaden Daniels just because if you look at the foundation that they have already set, whether that's with bringing in older guys like Bobby Wagner, some of these other players that they have bought in through free agency, I believe Dan Quinn wants to hit the ground running as fast as possible. And Jaden Daniels gives you that type of ceiling and then also that type of floor as well right away just because Jaden Daniels is without question the better player right now. And if you're looking for somebody in the short term, who is going to get you off on the ground running right now, like Dan Quinn and Adam Peters want to do, Jaden Daniels is going to be that type of guy. Now, over the long run, I just personally believe that Drake May is going to be the better prospect over time.
Jordan Reed on this show, Grant and Danny, this week, talking about his preferences and assessment, Drake May, Jaden Daniels. But it was his mock draft that dropped nationally, ESPN.com, yesterday that caught our attention. He suggests, because Jaden Daniels is more pro-ready this season, he thinks that's one of the reasons why the Commanders prefer him in that they are trying to win sooner.
That needs to be an in addition to the fact that he is the highest ceiling quarterback. If that's the case, great. I'll enjoy some early success. So it'll be fun. We'll all feel great if you've got a franchise guy that looks good right away, hits the ground running. That's all well and good. I don't care. I don't know about you guys. I'm speaking for me. This is old Randy Nuye here. I don't care about that eighth win, about reaching for that golden high apple up there at the tippy top where we can eke it out and get back into the playoffs. I'm tired of doing that for the last 30 plus years. The whole point of this thing is to be great. I don't care about being okay in year one. I mean, I know maybe I'm in the minority on that. I know people just want to win and they're tired of all the losing and they're tired of the mediocrity. I get that. My point is, if this is a bonus, great. If this is the reason, then we got to scratch our head a little bit.
Juicy DC Sports Tuesday. Nats hosting the Dodgers. Nats Park, about four blocks from where we're sitting on Half Street. Tonight in the 7 o'clock hour, Patrick Corbin is on the hill. He'll look to lower his ERA below 8 on the season.
Does he do it? Call your shot right now. Does he get below 8?
I'll say no. I'll say he does not do that.
I'm going to say yes. Because he's at 8.06 right now. He's at the end of the day today, he's sub 8.
As a reminder, they're playing the Dodgers.
Maybe not today.
The top of the order. Mookie Betts.
Hall.
Shohei Ohtani.
Of.
Freddie Freeman.
Fame.
Will Smith, who is maybe the best catcher
offensively in
the sport. That's the top of the order there that Patty Cakes is dealing with.
Yeah.
Of course, tonight you got the Caps right here on the Fan. Game 2 against the Rangers. We got a full preview of the game before we get out of here. Let's hit the phones. Mo's in Largo. What's up, Mo? Long time, no talk.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my call.
Hey, buddy.
So this is what I don't understand. The rhetoric behind or around these two young men. One gives you the opportunity to win now. The other one potentially gives you the opportunity to win later. If you can win now, why would you have the ability to win later? I don't understand it. So you're telling me he's good enough to win as a rookie, but then he's going to get worse? And here's the other question. What's a harder task, making one quarterback better or making one quarterback bigger? Because if Jaden was 15 more pounds, 20 more pounds, this wouldn't even be a discussion. Thank you, gentlemen.
No, I appreciate you.
Appreciate you.
All right, so I understand his point. It to me, it's the manner in which you're doing it. In other words, if you think of 2012, you introduced this revolutionary running offense where the quarterback's doing the 50 series, the zone read where defensive ends go unblocked and you're running for 50, 60, sometimes 100 yards in a game. It's a kind of offense that probably isn't sustainable for 10 years. You could do that right away, which you can't do with a not quite as athletic quarterback, even though we know Drake May's pretty damn athletic, but not like Jaden Daniels, who ran for 1,000 yards this past season in the SEC. It's basically saying a more Justin Fieldsian track, or an Aaron Rodgers track. Again, those aren't fair comps, because I think Daniels is a lot better than Fields. But I guess that would be the point of the, because I see your problem in the logic there, Mo, and it rankles me too. I'm a Daniels guy because I don't see it as just this one-year gimmick. I see a tremendous ceiling for a guy that can make plays for a decade plus. But that would be the logical chain there. I know that's a little bit puzzling.
Couple of things. One, he said, what's harder, making a quarterback better or making a quarterback bigger? I got the sense he was pro Daniels, yeah?
Yeah.
I think the answer is actually not what he was assuming. Like, to me, it is easier to improve Drake May as a prospect, who's already pretty talented and pretty good, than to make Jaden Daniels bigger. Did the idea that he could just add 12 or 15 pounds, that's not a thing. You know, he has been trying to do that and play it a bigger weight probably his entire life. I mean, he's got a frame that is slender. Now, I'm not drafting Jaden Daniels because of his weight. I think people are maybe putting too many eggs in that basket. I do think that the hits he takes, problematic.
That's what terrifies me.
And I refuse to do this, he'll learn to slide thing. I played that game with Robert Griffin. That is a mindset. That is a mentality. To me, that is no different than saying, I'll teach Rex Grossman to stop throwing it into double coverage. I'll teach this guy, Jameis Winston, to make better decisions. I'll teach. No. This is part of the package.
Mm-hmm. It's built in.
He is built in, and it's great. It's hero ball. I'm going to make plays. That's not going away, in my opinion, at the next level. I thought, incorrectly, with Griffin and some other guys, but it's pretty natural. Either you're a slider, you avoid contact, you get down, Russell Wilson style, or you don't. That's my opinion on that. But I just disagree with the notion that if Daniels, let's say, was a true 220, that it's game, set, match, and it's over. Because the people that still see some of the flaws, whether it's throwing to the middle of the field or the pressure to sack percentage, did the agent still like the tweets? Is it still kind of an awkward lead up? Again, I'll be happy if they take him. I got no problem taking him at 2 because I think he's worthy of the pick. I have more concerns with him than I do May. I have more concerns with him than maybe I'd like to. Taking a home run number 2 selection. But the idea that the only thing is weight and everything else is just a slam dunk, I'll push back on that a little bit. There are still flaws. And if we want to play the Drake May game, we could do that too.
Mm-hmm.
He's got warts. He's got, if you want to call them like red flags, so to speak, that are precursors for potentially struggling. They exist. But for Daniels, it's not just a weight thing. There is more to it than that, I would say.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, to me, the weight is the second part of the hit thing. That's my biggest concern by far. The shots that he takes.
Well, here's why.
And if his frame was Josh Allen's frame, then I wouldn't care as much.
But here's why the weight bothers me. It is less taking the hit, honestly, when he's preparing for it and out of it. It's more the you're getting landed on in the NFL.
Mm.
It's that Tony Romo breaks his collarbone every time he, you know, like, think about when, if you're a side sleeper like I am, that like fetal position laying, when you get tackled on your shoulder and a guy's on the other shoulder landing on you, how does your body hold up? And I just can't imagine a 327-pound nose or some 299-pound edge rusher or whatever, you know, three tech landing on Jaden Daniels. I just don't think that's going
to
go well.
Well, it's impossible not to think back then to Griffin. We know the hits that took him out, Haloti Ngata on the cutback. But think of the number of times he got folded up in these, oh my God, it's all over with type ways. And he would bounce back up because he was so pliable and flexible and obviously, you know, world-class athlete. But you pop up until you don't. Right? Until that one gets you in just such a way that derails your career. That's the thing I'm worried about more than anything else with Daniels.
Wouldn't you love, by the way, for your issue with weight?
Yep.
Be like, if only I could find a way.
Well,
to just add a few pounds.
We talk about this too, with when it comes to the then Redskins.
It's such a different thing.
Well, then I tasted the success. Like, I know what it was like. I know what it's like to have a metabolism. I had one. And I mean, it's gone now. It vamoosed.
What was it like?
It was I took it for granted. I would come home.
So you would eat something.
Grant, I came home at the end of a day of schooling and practices of sport or games or whatever. Before dinner, I'd eat a pint of Ben and Jerry's.
There you go.
I would eat dinner. I'd be hungry. 15 minutes later, I'd eat an entire box of Lucky Charms. I'd wake up in the morning, eat bagels, muffins, anything I could get my hands on. I would drink a Coca-Cola Classic on the way to school. I could not get over 165 pounds. No matter what I did, no matter how hard I worked, nor how much creatine I shoved down my face, all the weightlifting, everything I could possibly do to gain weight. And I couldn't gain weight.
There was a kid in my high school who really, really wanted to go to the Navy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why, but he had to be a certain weight to get into the Navy.
Mm.
And he couldn't get there.
Oh.
The week leading up to his big meeting with whoever was recruiting him, he would wake up like every couple hours in the middle of the night and eat a donut.
Yeah,
I'm not doing a bit. He would sleep and he would eat a donut and then like he's not trying to add good weight. This is not Jaden Daniels trying
just
to add
some weight,
12 pounds of muscle. He was literally just trying to get to a number and he couldn't do it.
A coach told me, "What you ought to do is to eat a pizza right before you go to sleep at night."
That's the same coach that says "and hey" a lot, and it sounds
and
like
hash.
And hash.
And hash.
And hey. To everybody, touch somebody. Everybody get on a knee down here. And hey.
It's what every strength coach sounds like, by the way. No matter where you are, it's like, hey, I tell you what you want to do. Get your butt down on a squat, young man. Get down there. Get low. Lower equals championship.
Look into the eyes of the man next to you. And hey. He's Danny. I'm Grant. Our 10 questions in 10 days leading up to the draft next. Remember, we got Benjamin Solak of The Ringer. Excited to talk to him again. He's on the show at 6. And full previews of the Caps playing game 2 in the first round. And the Nats tangling with the lowly Dodgers, who they took 2 out of 3 from
ho-hum
just last week. The Dodgers don't want to see the Nats.
Mm-mm.
They're not ready for the smoke or something.
Something.
G&D.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.